to the hills from whence cometh my help, unto the Lord which made heaven and earth. And the Lord that keepeth thee will not slumber, will not sleep. I will lift up my eyes to the hills.
Thankful for getting these good songs in our minds and singing about the Lord and letting us know where our help is and where it comes from. What do we need to do to get help? If We need it. It's good to be out here in the house of God today and tonight and to begin to sing about it and talk about it. You know, we do a lot of that, but you know, that's how we get the Lord in our life. We get to, you know, a lot of things out here we can talk about, and a lot of people, I was thinking about, you know, get your eyes on Jesus. We're in a political year here, and you hear these different politicians, you know, just saying, look at me, you know, I can, this is what I can do for you. This is what I my plans are for you. You know, look at me. But we know who we need to look to. We know all we need to do is begin to put our eyes on the Lord, on Jesus, and to begin to meditate on Him, and realize that we do have questions, and we can get answers, and we can get help. I find help in the things of God, around, you know, this world we're living in, and you know, kind of have to mingle a little bit with the world. I could sit at home all the time. I am retired, but I don't. You know, I'm out there with people, you know, just thinking. This week, of course, my wife is out of town, and I'm having to do double work. So anyway, I've been busy the last couple of days. I can prove it. My hands are kind of beat up a little bit. You know, these companies, of course, I hear these brothers talk about these different companies putting pressure on you. It wasn't really so much they, you know, they move like we, you know, do the Hallmark card thing and this store out here on Chenal, they're moving everything. Like they, and I think, well, why? You know, they have a good setup, things look good, but they moving, you know. So anyway, they're moving all these Hallmark stuff over to another section of the store, which entails a lot of work. So anyway, they have people in there, but you have to, you know, be ready for that. You know, you just. But one thing about it, on these some of these jobs, you know, that I've been doing since I retired, I don't have the pressure, you know, of when I used to work and not knowing whether you're going to even get enough time in. I saw a lot of people retire in that company, and I was just, you know, on pins and needles thinking that, well, you know, look like it just gets so close. I had, you know, 30 years with the company, you can retire and not have any strings attached. You know, you get full retirement. And I almost had 30 years. I had like 28. And all of a sudden, they moved this department I was working in. They moved it out of Arkansas. So my job went to Oklahoma. And here I didn't quite have 30 years of service. I couldn't retire. So anyway, and I said, well, I'm not going. So anyway, since I didn't go, I had to do something different that I didn't know, that I wasn't trained on. So that meant I had to go to some of these training, these schools. Here I've been trained to do my job for 20-something years, and I got to do something different. And the pressure was on. And I just almost, I don't know, I mean, it just was almost unbearable. They sent me off to school and pass-fail school. Things that my job was on the line. If I failed, then that meant I had to, well, I could have fell back and, you know, followed my job if I failed. But anyway, I didn't want to do that. You know, this is home. This is where I want to be. I don't want to follow that job. But anyway, that's this world. That's, you know, you're in these companies. But now, you know, I don't have the pressure. Like I told my wife, I said, they can, you know, they come. We go in their stores and the company tell you to do this, and you go in and talk to the store manager, they tell you, no, look, we don't have room for our own stuff. How do we have room for your stuff? So anyway, I said, well, I'm not arguing with you, store managers. I'm sorry. If you leave, if you change, if you something happened to you, it's over. You know, I'm not arguing with these people. But anyway, I don't sweat that, because I mean, I'm just doing this to kind of have something to do. So that takes the pressure off. You know, they can fire them if they want to. I mean, it don't matter. You know, I don't say that to be you know, throwing off on anybody, but I mean, I just don't feel the pressure. And I go in there and I help her, I work hard. I would get off today at 4. It was after 4 o'clock. I mean, that's unusual. But anyway, I can go in there and I do whatever I need to do, and that's it, you know. I don't feel that, but I remember the days when I felt that pressure of not knowing, you know, am I going to do what I need to do, if I'm going to make it? Am I going to pass this? Am I going to? And before I got out of that, you know, with the phone company, they set up all these systems where when you know, I worked in a department where you got troubleshooting, you know, you was into the digital world, the computer world, you get loaded. Get something on your time. Used to, when I started out, you just had paper. You know, you turned your time in by. I never had to punch a clock, but I had to fill out some paperwork, you know, for your time for that week or for that day. But before I left there, you know, everything was on computers. You come into work and there your stuff. You just pull up your time on the computer and it tell you what you got to do. So anyway, and you close it out that way. But anyway, everything was time. You know, when they loaded this trouble to you, you know, it's at 8 o'clock, they expect it to be fixed by 8:30. So if it doesn't get fixed by 8:30, it escalated. It goes to your boss. He get notified that this technician of yours got this on his time and he hadn't finished it. So anyway, it's pressure. All that's pressure. Some of it is, you know, if you got a good reason why you didn't complete the work, then you can, you know, get just, you know, you just, it's justifiable. And he'll give you a break, you know. The boss will say, well, he couldn't do this because of this, you know, whatever. So anyway, that pressure. And and that's part of life, you know, we live in a world where it's, you know, and you can, you know, you just living here and hearing what's going on in the world could put pressure on you. It could cause you to have a lot of pressure, but you don't have to do that. You know, you can begin to... I can't never forget Brother Brett telling about his dogs when that Hurricane Katrina hit down in Louisiana, and he was, you know, watching the news, I think it was, and his dog wasn't even, had their backs turned to the TV and was watching Brett eating something that he was eating. Anyway, they weren't even worried about Katrina and what was going on. You know, they weren't even, you know, it didn't bother them any. And I know we can't just live in a world where nothing bothers us, but we can live to a point where we don't have as much pressure, you know, on us, and live and begin to let the Lord help us with our problems. You know, He can take the pressure off, and He can help us, and begin to meditate on the things of the Lord to help us with the pressures of life and the thing that maybe have a tendency to cause us to have pressure. But anyway, it just, in like tonight, you know, being out here tonight in church and like I was working, they was, you know, we had people in there helping doing this work. And I told them, you know, I said, I'm going to have to leave. You know, it's a store. My wife and I do the store, so I hate to leave them there working. The store we work, but, you know, it's time for church. Sorry. But anyway, I had to leave them. But anyway, God is good to us, and he doesn't forget us, and he won't forsake us. So anyway, it's good to be here tonight, be out in the house of prayer, just thinking the good words Brother Smith been giving us, Bible study. You know, he was reading that 10th chapter of Hebrews Sunday, and I was thinking, you know, that Paul was encouraging, whoever wrote the book Hebrews was encouraging the Jewish people there, that, you know, to, you know, talking about the law and you know, how that, you know, making these sacrifices yearly or whatever it was, it couldn't take away sin. And also it was, you know, encouraging them, you know, to keep pressing on and to forsake not the assembling of themselves together. You know, he was just, and I was thinking, you know, that, you know, those people, you know, back in that day, you know, I never looked at it as being, they was going through the same process, you know, that we're going through. And they was on a journey like we are. You know, we're on a journey. We are serving God. We can't forget the things that God has given us. And we cannot forget to, you know, we can't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, we need that. We need to be together. We need, as God's people, you know, and we need to realize that unless the law of God, you know, is written, you know, somehow it's got to get in our hearts. That's what I'm getting at. You know, no matter, you know, that just having it on stone or on paper or even in a computer, whatever, you know, you put it wherever else, you can have the law of God. But somehow it's going to have to get in our hearts. You know, God, you know, he talks about writing it in our hearts, talking about putting it in our heart, but somehow, you know, and that's what we're working on. I appreciate the good messages we got, you know, good teaching. That you know, and some of it, you know, it's up to us. And like someone said, a lot of it is not up to us. You know, it's up to the Lord. But we have to submit ourselves to the process. You know, we're in a process, and we have to submit ourselves to that. You know, we may not be able to write that law in our hearts, you know, ourselves, but we have to make ourselves available to the Lord. You know, we have to present ourselves to the Lord for him to do that. You know, and so some of it we have to do. Paul was, was encouraging Brother Paul McGowan. I was talking about the scripture in Timothy. It's First Timothy 4:12. You know, he's telling Paul, you know, that saying that let no man despise thy youth, and he was telling him to be an example of the believers, and saying that he should. And he pointed out some things to be an example of, you know, saying be an example of the believers in charity. That may not be the first one, but he listed about four different things there, with like charity, faith, and conversation. You know, he pointed out these things. Paul was pointing these things out to Timothy to be an example of, you know, the believers. And I was just when Brother Smith was reading that you know, that 10th chapter of Hebrews, and I was considering that being a process that those people were going through on their journey with the Lord. And also, you know, we're doing the same thing. We're faced with a process that we have to go through. We have to stay on this journey, you know, even if we get in our minds or whatever, you know, get discouraged or get sidetracked, or however you want to put it, we have to stay on this journey. You know, we're on a journey with the Lord, and somehow we're gonna have to maintain, you know, our faith in God. You know, that's part of it. You know, with whatever it takes. You know, sometimes you don't know what it's gonna take. You don't know all the things that you have to go through. You know, something we go through, we need to go through it. It helps us. You know, otherwise we wouldn't be who we are if we didn't. So anyway, but we have to stay on it. We have to stay faithful to God in this journey that we're walking. This is a journey, and it's a walk of faith with God, and just over thinking over different things, over the years. You know, sometimes you just have to be around a while, you know, and see things, and the experiences that we've had, you know, in this group of people. You know, this has been a journey, you know, walking with this people. You know, if you'd have asked us when I came to this group of people in 1976, you know, what would, you know, this is what is 2014? Not even heard of. You know, we wouldn't even, I mean, it didn't even cross our mind, you know, that we'd be still here 2014. I mean, it was just so far away. I mean, when the year 2000 was approaching us, you know, it was just like, you know, what's going to happen? Everybody was just kind of, wasn't necessarily fearful, but they were just kind of speculative. You know, they didn't know what to expect, you know, what to think. Computers, they weren't designed to handle, you know, the dates and the things. They weren't ready for it. You know, they had to get ready for it. They did. They didn't know, well, what's going to happen to the computer when the year 2000 rolled around. We got through it. It's over. It's 14 now. And I was thinking, I remember in church over in the old building, Sister Hodges got up and was testifying about something, I don't know what. But anyway, she was saying that she was a half a century, 50 years old. Well, that seemed old to me. And, you know, she's 80, probably 85, 80-something. And I remember Brother Foster. This is a different situation. He was talking about going to a class reunion, 50-year class reunion. Man, that sounds like just a long time. But you know what? If I live 2016, you know what my class reunion year would be? 50 years. I can't believe it. You know, if somebody had told me, I wouldn't believe it. But anyway, those things happen. I have to think about it, you know, just time, you know, just time itself. When you begin to think about time and how that it passes and things, you know, it's kind of mind-boggling a little bit. You know, when things happen, you think, no, that can't be. You know, that can't be. But it is. But it is. And anyway, we're still serving God. But we want to stay on the journey, is what I'm getting at. We want to stay on the journey. We want to keep serving God. We want to keep our eyes on God, on Jesus. Oh, yeah. We want to keep looking at him regardless. You know, we might not. You know, we got some figures on people that figured out the time when, you know, the Lord would come back. We got all that, you know. But even if that don't happen, like it was some people figured it, let's still keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. You know, he's still there. And he still can help us. He's still available to us. I was thinking, this is about family thing. But anyway, I was thinking about I got a nephew that he and I, we was, you know, raised together. I didn't know he was my nephew. I thought he was my brother, you know, and he thought he was my brother. But anyway, we were raised together, and we found out, I guess he was maybe a teenager. I don't know. We found out he was my nephew. You know, his mom had him when he was, you know, I had him when she was a little girl, teenager herself. And my mom raised him. And that's all he knew. You know, he was raised with us. And he, you know. But I remember when my mother died, we had the funeral, you know, did the obituary that somehow, I don't know who did, you know, I got the oldest brother and sister, so I don't know who was taking care of that. I'm the babies of the family. Yeah, I got two sisters younger than me and got five older, so I don't know who was doing that. But anyway, he somehow found out they was going to put his name down on the obituary as a nephew. He wasn't having it. He said, no, I'm a brother. So anyway, I never thought about that, but that's the way he was raised. He didn't know it. He was raised a brother in our family. And, you know, no matter why, he found out later that he wasn't, but that wasn't the way he was raised. You know what I'm saying? And, but I didn't really, it was just, after many years, I thought about that, you know, that I kids, so they might tease, you know, you're just a nephew, you know. But anyway, I don't think we did that, but I was just thinking, you know, I was considering his feelings, you know, growing up, how he felt about that, you know. That was my mother was his mother, you know. But, I was thinking that, I mean, this is just over the years. I just looked back at that and I thought, you know, I hope I didn't bother him with that. I hope I didn't give him a hard time over that. And I don't think I did. But anyway, I'm just thinking how that, you know, in this life, you know, your circumstances happen and you don't have control of it. So, but you have to consider one another. You know, we're brothers and sisters here. You know, I'm your brother, you know. And no matter, you know, what we've gone through, you know, sometimes, you know, how we feel, you know, we're family. I was thinking about Brother Weiniger. Speaking of family, I got to travel with Brother Weiniger a few times. We went to, I think, Thanksgiving meeting, Godfrey. And on the way back, he said, well, I'm going to go by and see my brother, his brother Johnny. And we did. We stopped by. Was, you know, I was with him. So anyway, we visited with him. Of course, he did the same kind of work I did. So we had something in common. And And also, we was traveling one time coming back from Kansas City or somewhere, and we stopped at Aunt Polly's in Missouri. And this Brother Weiniger, you know, he's always included. I was thinking about that, being a family. I've always felt included. And one time we went to a Brother Dave meeting, the Godfrey meeting, and with Brother Leniger. We was trailing Brother Leniger, me and my wife and Sister Tony. We was trailing Brother Leniger to Godfrey, and I guess he was, you know, going somewhere else after the meeting because he wouldn't come back with us. So anyway, we stopped before we got to St. Louis, and he was telling us, he said, "Look, well, I'm going to go by to see my sister." And, of course, his dad was still living, and his dad was staying with his sister, Betty. And he said, I'm going by there. You guys, y'all welcome to go with me, or you can go on to Godfrey or whatever, you know, so whatever you want to do, you know. So anyway, he explained that to us, and so we decided to go with him. He said, well, they'll take care of you. We'll have Thanksgiving dinner, you know, and everything. So anyway, we followed Brother Leniger to his sister's house. Which I found out she worked for phone company, so we had something coming. But anyway, he included us. Well, my point here, by saying that, he included us. He didn't have to do that. But he said, well, they was going to church, Brother Jollis. You know, he explained all that too as well. But he said, they won't, you know, they'll take care of you. They'll treat you good. And they did. I mean, I had good fellowship. Ate dinner with them, had Thanksgiving dinner, and went on to Godfrey. But I was thinking about that, you know, how that this is family. We're family. And I felt that among God's people here. I felt, like I said, with Brother Traveling, Brother Weiniger, Brother Leniger, with the natural family. You know, they didn't have to do that, but they did. And we are here, you know, in the body of Christ. We're family. I see Sister Jody. It's good to see you, Sister Jody. We're family, Sister Jody. We are. God bless you. Good to see you. But anyway, and I think it should be that way. We should feel the love of God when we get around God's people. We ought to feel the love of God. We ought to feel that. And I appreciate that. Brother Mike, where is he at? Mike Crafton and Brother Jerry York and I, we went to Jacksonville, Florida back in March to a minister's meeting, and we got to stay with the family. But anyway, we really had a good fellowship with them people. And most of the time, you know, years ago we used to stay in homes a lot in this people, but here recently we don't do that as much. We, you know, stay in a motel and all that. But it's good to do that sometimes. You know, just stay with God's people. And we had such a wonderful time with these people, the fellowship. Neither one of them here, Brother Jerry or Brother York. But anyway, we had a good time. We followed up, you know, after we left. Matter of fact, my wife got one of the, his brother Williams, their name, the Williams family. But anyway, she fixed this breakfast quiche that we were there early. We got there like on a Monday night and beating the start to Tuesday night, but we were there early. So anyway, that Tuesday morning, she fixed this breakfast quiche, and it was so good. And we really enjoyed it. She gave us a recipe, and I brought it back to my wife, and my wife jumped on it. She fixed it. Matter of fact, we had it here at church. I don't know if y'all remember, but anyway, it was very good. Very good. I never forget. And see, something you do with people is stay with you. You know, it's something you take with you. You know, you may have had good fellowship and laugh, talk, whatever, and said goodbye, but something you don't stay with you. And I think that has to do with the love of God. You know, with God's people, I think it should linger. You know, I think our feeling for one another should linger longer than, you know, one visit. You know what I'm saying? One night, you know, whatever. You know, I think it should linger. I think it, and it ought to be that way, I feel like. We're a family. We ought to feel that. We ought to feel that when we become around, when we're around one another. I appreciate it. I really do. I appreciate God's people and appreciate being a part. of this church and being a part of what God is doing and being able to see the Lord working, you know, with people and see him doing things. You know, sometimes, you know, you may not understand what God is doing, but just kind of have to consider and just be watchful and be, the Bible tells us to be watchful, you know, we're to watch and be, use the word circumspectly, you know, kind of watch, you know, be, and I'm not always that way. I'm not always looking. I'm not always conscious of everything that's going on, but I want to be more spiritually conscious of what God is doing and just being able to just see the Lord in things that are going on. You know, see God work. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to be able to see God, you know, in even, you know, in our services. You know, we want to reach out. We want to feel God. We want to know that we went to God's house and we met God. You know, we had a touch from the Lord. And that's what this is all about. You know, we come to God's house. We expect to feel something about God. We ought to have something that will linger with us, you know, when we leave. You know, that God has deposited something in our lives, you know, and that's what we want to do. We want to, in such a way, you know, some way or another, you know, that God will do something, you know, something about, you know, words or a song or whatever, you know, or just a feeling, you know, that you, some people say they feel, I never felt this, but I've heard people say they can just pass by a church, you know. You've heard that, haven't you? That drove by the street and they felt something about this. You know, I don't know. I guess something could be to that. I don't know. I never felt that, but I mean, it could be something to it. But anyway, we need to, you know, reach out for the Lord and feel out after God. And I believe he can be felt. I believe we can touch him. So anyway, it's good to be here tonight. Good to be in the house of God, and we want to remember that. Good to see Brother Terrence and Granada. They don't normally come on Wednesday night, do you? Good to have y'all out tonight. Praise the Lord. All right. So anyway, we need to pray. I know we got needs. Brother and Sister Smith, remember them. Pray for them. And Brother Wallace. Pain in his back. All right. Pray for Brother Wallace. He's having a lot of pain in his back. Just thinking, Sister, I guess Sister Bryant was having that back pain, but she was here Sunday. But Brother Lair. All right. Okay, just remember Brother Lair Bryant. Okay. How about Sister Bunny's, what was it? Sister Bonnie and her daughter. Sister Linda. All right. Okay. Remember Sister Donna. Brother Fleming. You're not sure when that's going to happen. Okay. Okay. Remember Brother Fleming. Pray for him. All right. Brother Mike. All right. Pray for Sister Jenny Craft. Remember that need. Anybody else? Sister Lynette. Need prayer. Remember Brother Fred tonight. Pray for Sister Cindy. Sister Cindy and Mom, pray for her. That God can help her, touch her. All right. Anybody else? Sister. Okay. All right. Remember. anyway, remember that's Brother Ray Weaver's
that his sister? His sister.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? Any other requests? Needs? Let's all. Brother Painter. Yes, Brother. Okay, let's remember. Sister Painter's father. Good dad. Okay. Let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord. Pray that God will help his people. Lord, we thank you for this time. Come before you, Lord. Know you can help us. Help our every need, Lord. Look to you. Pray, oh Lord, that you help each one. Lord, help the people. Touch these needs. Precious Savior, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Oh, yes, Lord. The Holy Spirit is very bright. Help you touch it. Be with brothers and sisters. Oh, God, help us. Put our trust in you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Keep your hand upon each other. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you.
Like the Father. Tally was saying and the songs and everything. I just kind of felt like it was right for me. I was telling Sister Durham before church, I just at work just feel like I'm just getting literally buried. I mean, you just see my desk. Literally buried with paperwork upon paperwork. And then Brother Tally, like you said, with Laura having to learn things that you have not done before. And so it's just one challenge after another, and you answer one phone call and you get five more while you're on that phone call. And, you know, and just so it just seems like it's constant. And so, you know, by the end of the day, you're just thinking, oh, you know, and then, you know, and then just things in our life, and now things with my mom, and just different things that just feel like there's just one more thing upon one more thing upon one more thing. And you know, and I just appreciated that. Just don't forget that we have a Savior that can help us through these things. And don't forget who we are. We are His children, and that He is there to help us. And you know, I just felt like I just wish I had an altar by my desk. I just need to sit there and just thank the Lord. I have Sister Sherry there with me now, and I really appreciate her working with me. And it's really, she's really been my, okay, I'm not here alone. She's helping me. I have other people helping me. We can do this. But I just really, I want to not forget that the Lord is there to help me no matter what kind of natural thing or spiritual thing that I go through. And just really appreciated being able to come into church tonight and the Lord remind me, hey, you are my child. I am here. You know, don't forget. Don't forget, you know. Don't forget me, and I will be there to help you. And I just love the Lord and just really appreciate His goodness to me and Him reminding me that I am His child.
To be here tonight and to be a part of the family of God. It's wonderful, you know, to you know, be a part of something greater than what's just going on in our own small lives, to know that we are part of a work that God's doing in this world, a part of a people that's, you know, shining a light, getting ready to shine an even greater light in this world. And listening to that song, it was hard not to think back to the times that my family prayed for me, and you know, when I was going through the rough times I was going through, when in some cases, you know, in some families in the world, you know, families that don't know God, some families may have you know, disowned me or you know, turned a blind eye to me and said, we don't want anything to do with you anymore. But I'm thankful that here in this building, not just my natural family, but everybody here, I have a family of a different kind. The kind that God's laid His hand upon, you know, touched with a vision, an understanding of what He's doing in this world. And that's something to praise Him about tonight. I want to give Him a praise. Can we give Him a praise for being a part of this family, a part of the work that He's doing? It's wonderful. It's something we should not be taking for granted. I went, I have a friend who is, he's going into the military. It's not Dylan, it's somebody else. He's from another church, a small United Pentecostal church. And the other night I went to his church. They had a really late service because we weren't having church here. So I joined him and his family for church there, and it was a small church, but it was crowded. It was packed full of people, and when they started the service, they all stood up. They started praising God. They started raising their hands. There was some jumping and shouting. There was a lot of excitement you could see going on there, but something was missing in that building. Something was missing there. Something that they did not have an understanding. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but I know what it is tonight. I know that there's a work God's doing in this world, and not everybody has an understanding of what He's doing. People, most people in this world believe that Jesus came, and He came to die for our sins, and because He died, we can live forever. But I'm thankful for the understanding that it goes beyond just the little things. That there's something greater. Something scary sometimes, but there's something greater, and a great opportunity that we have to be a part of a work that's going to bring truth into this world. To be part of a work that's going to manifest Christ to this world. And that's a wonderful thing, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited to be part of a work that's, you know, really striving to be part of a people that has an understanding of those hidden truths in the Bible that not everybody understands. Some things some people can't comprehend, and I can't comprehend them all myself, but I'll tell you something I can comprehend tonight. It's wonderful. It's wonderful what God's doing here. It's wonderful. I turned my back on this a long time ago, and I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the understanding that I have now. I'm thankful for this family, people that love me, people that prayed for me even when I turned my back on them, even when I treated them so badly, when I talked badly about these people, but y'all loved me anyway. We have a family of a different kind here tonight. Let's embrace that. Let's embrace what we have here tonight. I love each and every one of you here. Can you comprehend? Can you comprehend the love of God? Well, God's manifesting His love here. Can you feel it? I just wanted to stand and praise His name.
I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. You know, however God accepts me, He said, come as you are. And we all come to the foot of the cross one day, didn't we? And had our beginnings of God, and He has, you know, lifted us up as we have faith, and then some. I thought, you know, there are no throwbacks in the family of God. And it reminded me of, this is a long time ago, I sound like an old timer now, don't I? my grandfather, this may sound kind of cruel, but it's just the way things were. Had some hound dogs and had a litter of pups, and there was a runt in there. And he took it away and got rid of it. And that's because it was kind of a mercy type thing in his mind. And because it didn't have a chance. It just, you know, the other, and it made the, so the other strong pups were more, even more healthy. And though that seems cruel in our eyes, that's just the way things were. And maybe that still goes on today. I don't know, man. You know, maybe that's a necessary thing that has to do, but not in the family of God. Jesus said, you know, bring me your halt, your blind, your maimed, you know.
Hallelujah.
You know, those that, you know, He said, He'll make something out of nothing, you know. And sometimes we feel like nothing, don't we? Here we are in the family of God. And I'm kind of expressing the way I feel sometimes, you know, because, you know, this is a progressive work in it. And sometimes we get to that spot, you know, that place of, it's feel like we're in, you know, we're with the multitudes in the valley of decision, sort of, you know. And, you know, and we have to, have faith to believe in hope against hope, you know, when there was no hope. We have to find that place somehow. And sometimes it takes a while, doesn't it? And we feel, you know, I mean, at least I feel, you know, what's it all about, you know? What's it all about? And what's odd about this, and what's odd about this whole thing is here I am in the greatest country in the world. I haven't gone hungry. His seed's not begging for bread, in other words, you know. But though we get accustomed to our comforts, don't we? And yes, in a way we are thankful for those many blessings that we got, that we were able to live in this country. And we are. But we still have that, there's that desire to go on into things of God. And we seem like we're, oh, why can't I move forward, you know? Why can't I move forward? And, you know, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, doesn't it, sometimes, you know? But God, in His infinite wisdom and in His time, He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, isn't He? And He will never leave you and forsake you. Even though, you know, and what I describe is, God, I want more of God and I want it right now. And we have need of patience. And so, overall, tonight was a good service, wasn't it? Wasn't some great big blowout thing that, you know, or, you know, I don't think I've seen anybody run the aisles, or, but it was just a calm, it's kind of like your family sitting around at the dinner table, wasn't it? Just having a good talk, wasn't it? Enjoying the meal. There's, you know, no drama. Don't, you know, we're not worried about, we're just here together and enjoying it, aren't we? Thank God for those times, isn't it?
Thank you.
It's just Brother Caleb said, yeah, you know, I come here and I sit down at the table and I may even feel like the black sheep of the family, you know. But you still loved me anyway, didn't you? Because that's what Jesus did. He still loved us anyway. Regardless, He looked beyond our faults and saw our needs, didn't He? And still today, He's doing that. So I'm so thankful for His mercy and His grace. And you know, Brother Talley mentioned some things of, you know, in Hebrews that reminding of that, not forsaking themselves because they needed to come together and have services like this, you know. I never really appreciated my mother until later on in life. Ain't that crazy? Because I was young and I thought, you know, I had the world by the tail on a downhill drag, and I thought I knew more. You know how teenagers are. You can't tell them anything. Now, I know there's some good, we got good teenagers here, and you know, but you know, I'm describing myself. So, all our teenagers are humble, and they listen. We all know that. We hope that anyway. Now, I do appreciate our young people here, my mother. Is when I start having children of my own, and feeling that feel for them, and that you know, where I lived one time, there was a train that went by all the time. I didn't hear a thing, slept right through it. But you let one of them boys start coughing a little bit, there goes my eyeballs, they go wide open, you know. I was attuned to it. And, you know, the Lord is the same way with us. And I appreciate my mother now that, that I knew. Now I know.
Now you know.
Now I know, even as I am also known. In a sense. I thank God that that He's attuned to our, you know, says He knows the numbers are on our head. You know, the hairs of our head. You know, and we're more valuable than sparrows. That's not knowing what the seven thunders uttered in Revelations, is it? But it's just something that that God, He's got us in our hand. You know, His hands, He's holding us. And we think of those things, the footprints in the sand, knowing that God is carrying us, knowing that God is there with us, you know. Even when there's no excitement, even when it's just a calm, you know, just how you doing and good to see you, I'm glad you're here, you know. And I might not have had a whole lot to give, but I gave what I got, and I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that we have a God that allows us to just calm down a little bit now and then, doesn't He? To kind of have a level, you know. Because we do have those high points. We do have those. We get great revelations. We have gotten them, of course, we are seeking more. And sometimes we have valleys we go through, keeps us looking up, keeps us keeping our eyes on Jesus, doesn't it? Because He's our Savior. And I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Foundation of family love and care of what Jesus does for us and what we can do for one another, and it kind of, you joggled my mind, and then Caleb added to it, and then Brother Paul, everybody added to it. But while you were talking, I thought, what this being probably 6 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, of the Lord touching me one day, something was going on, and He touched my mind to talk about No Child Left Behind. You know, and there used to be a commercial here on TV in Arkansas for our children in the school systems of No Child Left Behind. And I know that's the way Jesus looks at it. And just listening to everybody else and Caleb talking about, you know, He left for a little bit and He came back and how He felt our love. And just that's what I feel like we've, you know, kind of talked about tonight, that there is really no child left behind. It is up to us to love one another and to love each other. And then Brother Paul talked about the runt, and it was really, that was what always attracted me into a litter of whatever it was. I always wanted the runt. I was always the one that would find the bottle and feed the runt and make sure that it, you know, it survived. And it brought my memory to Amanda and her family have Weinerheimers, and they had a litter of pups last year, and her husband Ashley, my son-in-law, he's an engineer now for the railroad, but he's also a trained paramedic, and their runt wasn't breathing when it come out, and he performed CPR on that little puppy, and it started breathing. And so, I mean, they got that little runt going, and she became added to the family. And what really kind of jugged my memory in addition to that was I was asking my little granddaughter Kylie what she was going to name it, because Bo and Daisy, the dad and the mom, were Cody and Cade's, and she didn't have her Weinerheimer, so this, you know, so she gets to keep this one. And so I asked her, I says, what are you going to name your puppy? And she gave some kind of little name, and I says, well, that's kind of cute. It really, to me, it sounded like a big name for such a little puppy. And I says, well, that's cute. I says, but if Nana was going to get that puppy and keep it, I think I would have to name her Grace or Mercy, because God really showed grace and mercy to that little puppy because your daddy was home. So she ended up naming that puppy Mercy. So to me, what I just kind of, and what everybody has said tonight, that God shows mercy. It doesn't matter what, you know, what condition you're in as a child. You're a child of His. And no matter what you need, all you have to do is ask, and He's going to show that mercy.
We normally don't come on Wednesdays because Mackenzie's at the age now where we can't really tell her what to do. She does what she wants to do, and we don't like for her to keep up a lot of noise at church. But a few people may remember I used to come here years ago. I think it was probably around 2010, 2011. I think Sister Tally may be the only one that remembers me. But I stopped coming, and I started going to another church, and it was just something about the church. It wasn't a family environment. It didn't seem like family. It was a nice church, but I didn't feel like a family with that church. And so then I started coming back here. I used to see Sister Taylor when she worked at Belt all the time. She was like, well, when are you going to come back to church? When are you going to come back to church? I miss seeing you there. And so finally, I was just like, okay, I think we're going to start going back. And after that, I had already had Zylan and Mackenzie. And so I just want to thank everybody for always making us feeling welcome and me feeling welcome before I had the children. And it feels like a family here. And I didn't feel that at the previous church that I was at. And we feel like we're home now than when we were there. And I just want to thank everybody for open your arms and making us feel welcome and making us feel like the part of the family. Thank you.
I was thinking earlier before church even started about family. And then as I came in, we started talking about it, and I walked up the side aisle over there, and Joanne had Zylon, and I started poking at him, and she goes, here comes Uncle Brett. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange, you know. But when you think about it, even when my kids were born, I can't remember who said it, but they said it's not like it's like you're not their dad. It's like you're their weird uncle that you know, encourages them to, you know. And I always kind of took that as a compliment. Most people probably wouldn't, but I kind of thought it was, I kind of liked it, the weird uncle to my own kids. But I'm thankful to get Uncle Fester. And that's what Zach's saying behind me is Uncle Fester. I'm not losing my hair that fast. But it just made me, tonight would have been worth it if we had just came in here and sat down and I'd seen seen Jody walk in. I mean, that's like seeing a member of my family. I mean, if we'd stood up and walked out and went home, it'd been worth it to me right there. But then to hear Brother Tally get up and talk, and you know, just the thought of Brother Tally being stressed, I can't hardly get my mind around that. You know, I was sitting there, I was trying to imagine what he looked like while he was stressed, and how he talked. And, you know, my imagination is hyperactive. I mean, you can only imagine what I was like when I was a little kid. You know, every little, you know, creak in the floor. I mean, I was jumping five steps ahead, and I had it figured out what it was and why it was coming and what it was going to do when it got there. But when Brother Tally was up, I was trying to, it made me realize that we're all in this together, and we are a family. And to think that at that particular time when he was under that, and I remember that time, but I don't remember him showing it. And I was thinking, you know, I would love to have that testimony, because I show it. Everybody knows when I'm under stress. But Brother Talley went through that whole time and never showed it. And I remember when was it AT&T was downsizing, and I knew he was getting close to retirement, and it was kind of in the back of my mind that he might be going through something, but he never showed it. And that's the kind of testimony I want. That's a great example to us all, that we trust God that much. And you know, he mentioned, you know, my dogs, and I've told this story a million times, and I'll tell it to the day I die, about when after Katrina had hit and New Orleans was in turmoil. My company I work for has three terminals right there. You got Lafayette and Baton Rouge and New Orleans. They had all three been hit. Price of fuel was going through the roof. I had just had ruptured Achilles tendon, so I was laid up in a couch, you know, having reactions to the hydrocodone. A tree my mom had and my wife had bought me, a Japanese maple, out on the, was dying because I couldn't get water to it because I was in a full-legged cast because of the Achilles tendon. And that, everything, you know, I know that's just a bunch of little things, but they all pile up. And I think that's where that's what gets us, it's almost like, you know, Chinese water torture. It's the drip, 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 and it's just the constant pressure. It's not the big things. It's not the car wreck. Car wreck's over. You get insurance deals, but it's the little things. It's the brakes going out. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's exactly right. And I remember all that just hitting at the same time, and Katrina had hit. Rita was coming on. It was all over Fox News. You know, here's another hurricane coming on. It's going to push that much more water into the Gulf and this and that. And I was sitting there, my leg propped up, and, you know, and just my mind in a turmoil from the drugs I was on because of the pain and this and that. And I remember I was eating a ham sandwich, and my dogs were in a circle around me. They all wanted a piece of that ham sandwich. And I was watching that TV, and it dawned on me, those dogs don't care what's on that TV. They don't care that another hurricane's coming on. They couldn't care less, because they know their focus was that ham sandwich. And they knew that they were going to get a piece of it, and then after that was over, they was going to get dry dog food, and they was going to, you know, they knew they were going to be taken care of. And I started thinking, how much more should I know that I'm going to be taken care of? No matter what I might miss the ham sandwich. Dad might not give me a piece of that particular ham sandwich, but I'm not going to starve. And God's going to take care of me. And if those dogs can have that much faith in me, how much more faith should I have in God, who's never failed? Even when I thought he's failed. You know, sometimes he said no, and sometimes he said not, just not now. And then, you know, 6 months later, whatever I was needing or wanting, it comes to pass. And I'm thankful, and I've said it before, I probably say it every time I get up, that I don't know how people in this world function with the steady barrage of bad news that we get on the news. I had a man tell me one time that he was an older man, about Brother Wayne's age, but no, he wasn't that old. But he could still move. No, he told me that we're hardwired as a species to only, from the beginning of time, to only handle as much bad news as what we could affect. So, you know, going back in time, you only heard as much bad news as what affected your family, possibly your clan, maybe your village, possibly your town. Other than that, you didn't know what happened in Bangladesh or Singapore or the economy in Ukraine or whatever. We didn't know that. So when we feel like we're helpless, we can't affect these things that happen around the world, what do? We shut down. If I can't do everything, I'm not going to do anything. And that's why one of the things I've done in the last couple of years is I just cut out talk radio, because it's nothing but turmoil, and everything's a crisis. You know, they say that when President Obama got elected, it was the best thing that ever happened to the NRA. Their memberships, their everything went through the roof. They're coming for our guns, and they may be, they may not. But they said that when Bush got elected, it was the unions, all the union memberships in the unions, all the donations to the unions. Oh, they're coming for our freedom, whatever. So they have to manufacture a crisis. And if that's all they're doing, why do we believe any of them? You know, why should I worry or fret? I've got a guy at work that's hardcore, staunch Republican. And that's all he wants to talk about is how bad the Democrats are. And I'm like, you know, back during Prohibition, the first thing the Republicans did, if a Republican sheriff got elected, he went and busted up all the Democrat stills. If a Democrat got elected, he went and busted up all the Republican stills. So what does it matter? The only person we can't trust, our God, we can trust God, is all we can trust. And that's what I have to go back to. And I my mind gets in a turmoil from time to time, but if I ever, you know, can step back from it and know that God hasn't failed me and he won't fail me. And then when I hear testimonies like I've heard tonight from my brothers and sisters about how, and then it gives me an insight into the fact that how they go through things and how they react and how they respond instead of react. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate this service tonight. It's been a great help to me. I know, you know, sometimes you get that calm feeling, and there's a little bit of a spell between testimonies, and I get that antsy, you know, come on, let's do something. But then sometimes I don't. Sometimes it feels like it's right. It feels like, you know, we're you know, the word Selah, or Selah in the Old Testament and Psalms, you know, pause and consider. Maybe, you know, I shouldn't be so quick to, you know, it's got to be another song. It's got to be another song. Maybe I should consider, you know, what was said and maybe soak it in, or I may, you know, and then may think about it on the way home. I may think about it 3 days from now. You know, Brother Talley, you know, he said this or whatever this might be, and it might help me through something I'm going through right then. And I appreciate y'all. I really do. I mean, I know sometimes we're small in number, sometimes we're greater in number, and I remember Gideon, and I think about the 300, and I always wonder how happy they were they stayed. How happy they were that you know, years ago, you know, when I wasn't in church, I got into Taekwondo pretty heavy, and I let other things drag me out, and I kind of got out of it. But there was three of us. There was me and two other guys that were the three in the class that were probably the most dedicated. And when I got out of it, I heard years later that these two other guys that I was on par with at that particular time had went on to become, one was a grand champion, you know, world champion. And I thought, oh, it just made me sick. Why didn't I stick with it? I was with that guy. I was as good as that guy back then. Who knows if I'd have been as good then by the time he progressed, but I always remember that. And a lot of times when I think about giving up and just, you know, okay, I've had enough, I think, what would I think if one of these days, you know, I look back on this, and if I did leave, you know, how much I would regret it. If when we see the church being restored and we see, you know, the church moving forward, I mean, it's hard to see right now for me. But I don't want to be, you know, left behind. I want to go on with God's people. And I appreciate being here tonight.
Church, Monday, Monday morning, I woke up. Well, what really woke me up was, you're going to think it's strange, and it was strange. They were singing a song that I've never heard before. I don't know anything about it, but the band was playing this song, "We Got a Key," and the choir would go, "Building the church, keep building the church." And we were just singing it over and over and over. And the band was sitting in a triangle, and the choir was around it. Well, Brother Talley gets up to dismiss service, and he said, "Folks, y'all can go home if you want, but some of us are going to stay." And he grinned real big like Brother Talley does, and he had gold teeth. And that's what woke me up, was Brother Talley's gold teeth. I thought, what? But that won't, I mean, I thought, I become wide awake, because that's his smile, and there was gold teeth in there, you know. But it was beautiful. We were doing an awesome job. We were on a stage, and the church was full. I thought about what was said Sunday night, you know, about our church one of these days. And we've heard this for years and years and years. Since I've been coming to church here for 50 years, I've heard this, that a church one of these days is going to be full. And I may not see it in my lifetime, but God will have a church, whether I'm here or whether I'm not, whether I go on or not. God's going to have his building. He's going to have, and we've got to keep building the church. Keep building the church. About why we're here. When he came home from the hospital, when he was born there, and you know, there in Bentonville, and I had a big house, and I raised the kids there, and we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of trouble. I mean, many times you got a big family, you're going to have, you know, but still. If you don't have anything that fills you up, you can have a meal of nothing but bread and water, but you have to have food. So Destra and I were talking about how many churches that we looked to. We came here one time and we went home full of excitement. Well, I'm not going to go into the details because you know the folks. But it was a miserable experience, and Esther said, "I will never go back." So for a year, we looked for a church. We went to 17 different churches. But if you don't get fed, you go into a restaurant, and if you don't ever get waited on, you won't want to go back. Well, that's the way it is in God's house sometimes. Anyway, we had a nice home, more than one, because Destra and I like to buy houses, I guess. But anyway, we're living in a rent house. And we're trying to move our furniture around. And you ought to see the house. It's pitiful. I mean, because we're switching rooms and all this kind of stuff. And you do things and you wonder. And Destra said this afternoon, he said, "Do you think we've accomplished very much today? I mean, the house is in pretty bad shape, or I think it is." I said, "Well, I can tell you one thing." I said, "I'm going to church. This house can be picked up again tomorrow." So tomorrow we're going to be cleaning the house, moving the furniture again. But it's where your heart is that counts. So this afternoon, Brother Nathan had given us a tape of Sundays, because Destra didn't feel good Sunday, and he wasn't here. And
But this afternoon, we sat down and we listened to Brother Smith. So sometimes, just to have, like her song, God sent her that song. God sends you the things that you need. If you think the right thoughts, God will use those. It will come back to you. Or it does to me anyway, and I'm just glad to be here, and I'm feeling better. And we never know what's going to happen. But because I'm from California, I met the awful nice young boy the other day, and I said to him, I said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "I'm from California." I said, "I am too." So we stood there, and we were able to reminisce about life in California. Sometimes to go back and to think of where you're coming from makes you appreciate where you are. And I'm glad to be here. And I'd rather be in this rent house over here than to be in that house that we just sold in Springdale. So God will work all this out, you know. We'll find something for Destra to do so he won't have to walk around and move my furniture. But anyway, we appreciate you folks, and we're real glad to be here.
'78-year-old, as Red Skelton used to say, I'm glad to be anywhere. But if I'd known I'd going to live this long, I'd probably taken better care of myself. I got such a blessing out of getting to know you. I've been here about 7 weeks now, and I'm getting to go with faces, and it's just like I was born around here. And I'm just so pleased, because I got a revelation a few years ago that there's something missing in the churches today. God is always trying to reveal himself, but he's selecting a bride of Christ, a redeemed church, and I'm so glad to be a part of this. I'm still learning every day. I'm learning that God is informing us, and God is shining a light down on our souls, and we're seeing imperfections in our soul, and God is building up our character, and God is actually correcting us, just like we corrected and going to the moon. We corrected when the wind hit the moon, vehicle going to the moon. We had to correct that, and it had to be done by manual, or if the manual didn't work, then the backup as a man. Anyway, God is still working on me. He may have finished up the moon and finished up the stars, but I'm so proud that God is still working on me, and I'm learning about the body of Christ. And I'm just listening with both ears, and I'm so appreciative of Brother Painter going to the extra trouble to make a DVD for June and I. And I'm so pleased to be a part of this body of Christ. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your word. I'm just not getting it tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for including me in the house that you're building today. Oh, keep your hand on me, from my spirit set me free, for in this precious place I want to stay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Smith be here Sunday, but we'll.
He will. Okay.
Good to have everybody here. Sister Jody, good to see you. God bless you. Bless you. I didn't, Sister Lisa, who was that with you? I know she's been here before, right? She's been here before, right? Good to have you, Danielle. God bless you. All right. So we'll see you Sunday, 10 o'clock. God bless you. Just say a prayer, though. We got people that, we got sick people, don't we? Need prayer? Let's pray a little bit just for some, if y'all don't mind, just before you leave.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for this night. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, touch your people. Touch your needs, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Praise God. Praise God. Glory, hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.